You have 30 minutes to explain to the founding fathers what has happened to America. Now, I want you to picture this. You're going to be meeting with George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and Ben Franklin. They want to know what has happened to America. The question is, what will you say? This meeting will determine for our founding forefathers if what they sacrificed at so great a cost and gave their lives in the service of was worth it. They want to know if the posterity that they entrusted their beloved country to had taken up the task with honor as to the preservation of our freedoms as a nation, our morals, our principles, and the Christian values that this country was founded upon over 238 years ago. Now, think about it for a moment. You'd have to explain to them how this nation was not the same country that they had bestowed upon us. You'd have to explain to them how 3,700 babies a day are murdered in the womb by their own mothers with the approval of those who stand by and do nothing. You'd have to explain how now men marry men and women marry women with government's consent, and how children in public schools are violated every day by sexual predators. You would have to explain to them how blasphemy, fornication, that's sex outside of marriage, 1 Corinthians 6:9, lewdness are commonplace in our society as a whole. And despite all of this, the pulpits in America, over 300,000 for the most part, remain silent, and the church has become a reproach to the nation. See Jeremiah 23, Matthew 23. You would have to tell them that drinking, gambling, lying, stealing, and do whatever you want as long as it feels good to you have become the status quo instead of a love for God, country, your fellow man, and doing unto others as you would simply have them do unto you. You would have to convey to them that the American people, for the most part, have stood down, tolerated, and enabled a tyrannical president and his administration, which are willingly and knowingly destroying America. You'd have to bring them up to speed on why the American people have tolerated a criminal administration to remain without consequence to the numerous laws in which they have violated and transgressed. These issues include such crimes as Benghazi, Fast and Furious, the IRS scandal, and oh, much, much more. You would even have to explain to them how that now the government has their hooks into nearly every portion of our lives, even to the point where if you want to fish in your own lake outside your back door, build a fire outside your front door, or even own a gun, which is your right, which is protected, of course, by the Second Amendment, you now have to ask and receive the government's permission by getting a permit, as if to say they're the ones that have bestowed our rights unto us, not. What do you think after telling them all this would be the look on their faces? Would it be sadness, disbelief, or shame? Would George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and Ben Franklin experience deep sorrow in their hearts that they have sacrificed so much for absolutely nothing? Was this the posterity that they fought so much for? A cowardly bunch of immoral men and women who stood down to tyranny, fell to immorality, and let the government control every angle of their lives? What would they be thinking after they heard all of this? I can only imagine. The disgrace the American people have brought upon the sacrifice of her forefathers because of her immorality and unwillingness to fight the same battles that they did? And after bringing our founding forefathers this news, the only thing a reasonable person could do would be to bow their heads in absolute shame. What a disgrace. Not to mention the hundreds of thousands of men and women who have fought, bled, and died to preserve this great nation since then. What would our founding forefathers do in your position if they switched places with you today? If they had the opportunity to right the wrongs and fight against immorality and all forms of tyranny, how would they act? What would they do? Would they have let things get so bad? Would they have tolerated these long train of abuses? History answers that question quickly enough. Absolutely not. Now, John Adams, the second president of the United States, said, "Posterity, you will never know how much it cost the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it, because if you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it."
At The Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches every day doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. Or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
My name is Patty Varr. I'm from Glen Allen, Alaska. I just wanted to thank Bradley Dean and his family for coming in May in our community, and I really appreciate and love the message that they give.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently, we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Folks, in just a couple minutes, we're going to have Tim Brown, morning show host, with us. He's going to join us. We're just going to talk about a couple issues. I was on his show at 4 o'clock this morning until 6 o'clock this morning. And so what we're going to do is we're going to high-five him back and just kind of get his take on some of the things that he may have asked me. So he'll be with us in just a couple minutes. Wanted to let you know, if you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Top left side of the page, subscribe. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com and or BeforeIt'sNews.com. BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of that page as well. If you want to call in, love to hear from you. Stick to the topic, please. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Now, folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. We follow the Christ here, Acts 4:12. There's none other name under heaven whereby men might be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I hope you're sitting down for this because you really have to listen to what the word warns of, because I'll tell you what, we're here today. And I was just thinking, I'm just going to go ahead and give you the definition of Cloward Piven and the strategy so you can understand what's happening today, what's happening in the past, and what has destroyed countries throughout. The Cloward Piven strategy is a political strategy outlined in 1966, it's just put under a different name, by American sociologist and political activist Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. The strategy aims to utilize militant anti-poverty groups to facilitate a political crisis by overloading the welfare system via an increase in welfare claims, forcing the creation of a system guaranteed minimum income and redistribution income through the federal government. That is called communism, at the end aim, as to those that are implementing the very strategy called Cloward Piven. Now, I want to go back a little bit so you understand perfectly as to what I'm talking about, because we've all heard of Rome. I don't think there's anybody that hasn't heard of Rome. And what's interesting is most people don't understand how Rome destroyed itself. I can tell you this right off the bat. every country at large, friends, every one of them is a theocracy, like it or not. They're going to be ruled by God or they're going to be ruled by a tyrant, period. Okay, there's no in-betweenites there. But with that said, when you begin to remove the word of the Lord, don't think for one moment and don't suggest bad guys or those that call yourself atheists, yeah, right, that God is being kicked out of the square. No, God, the Father, the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, he's in control at all times and all places, regardless if it's under the blessings or under the curses. Oh, and bad guys, he's your Lord too. You just haven't realized it yet, okay? But I just want to make clear, not only are you all going to bow your knees, but I do want you to acknowledge that you're going to confess Jesus Christ here and now one way or another. Because when you look at any country that excludes the word of God and gives it over to man, it brings on a dictatorship, a despot, it takes on a tyrant, whatever you want to call him, whatever system of government you want to call it, friends. When you remove God from that equation concerning his word and following his commands, you instantly bring a curse upon your nation and you will be destroyed one way or another. In America, what's destroying this country is what the American people tolerate when it comes to corrupt politicians, which is only a representation of the people. And I'm sure you've all heard, every country deserves the government that it has. Absolutely it does. So let's go back just a little bit. Let's just go back and do a little homework on Rome for just a moment, if you don't mind. What happened in Rome and what was it that took down Rome? And then I want to ask you the question, is this happening in America? At the fall of Rome, over half of the people were living on the dole. What does that mean? It means government assistance, welfare. You know how many people are on welfare that's reported today in America? 41 million people. That's 12% of the population. That's what they're telling us, okay? It's probably a lot more than that because they mean to break the system because America and Americans are the ones that are impeding the way of the global order, okay? So over half of the people in Rome were on government assistance. Number two, Rome began an open border policy. Did you hear what I said? And they've been talking about this. And as a matter of fact, Americans, you've been warned about this from this platform 100 times, literally, because that's all they do is they keep renaming these programs. And what they did is they just got rid of the programs and they just blatantly opened up the borders. And the American people still could care less for the most part as to what's going on in their country. And if you want the proof that's in the pudding there, just look at a football game any given Sunday because that's where the people are at. They're not protesting corruption in government. They're not impeaching. They're not prosecuting. They're not putting their foot down. They're not playing the law to bring back law and order by bringing order. Nope, that's not the American people. That's a thing of the past somehow or another, but I'm here to tell you that's the very thing that's destroying you. Understand judgment guards our liberty, and when you fail to be the law and bring judgment unto the wicked, this is what you're going to get. So what they did, Rome began to open its border policy, and the Germanic tribes began pouring in, taking over the land, and what jobs there were, they took over. And then they eventually bankrupted the Roman financial system. That's why they want to create a cashless society, which is in big time talks right now. And guess who wants to implement that more than Donald Trump in 15 minute cities? Nobody. Number three, they built coliseums to distract the people. Sound familiar, Americans? They didn't want the people to see what they were doing. So what they did is they created and they built bigger and bigger and bigger arenas and coliseums. And guess who they put into those coliseums? The very people that were protesting them, the Protestants, the Christians of the day, and then they fed them to the animals. Well, it wasn't over, friends. That was just the beginning. And then what they did is they promoted and they began a widespread advocation for immorality among the people. Isn't it interesting that has been the message from day one concerning this ministry? Depart wickedly from God and the country is going to be turned into hell. It's that simple. This is where we're at. Promote immorality. Why? Because if I can demoralize you, I can control you. And then guess what they did, friends? And this is in reverse in some ways, but it's fully being implemented here in America. They promoted acceptance of all gods and religion within one country. Well, what does the Bible say about that in Judges 5:8? when there were other gods within the gate, there was war. We'll be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-3047 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Kevin Shipp, former CIA officer. I want to give my personal recommendation for Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. Bradley's message of standing for faith and liberty in America is critically important to the future of our country. Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty's message is a light in the darkness we're facing. I personally support Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth to power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at BrighteonRadio.com.
Today, more than ever, our pets are struggling with many of the same health challenges that their owners are struggling with. Medications can sometimes help, but do not address the root cause and can create unwanted side effects. Pet Regen by Go Natural Pets is a revolutionary, regenerative, plant-based supplement for pets that helps the body heal itself naturally. The results have been extraordinary. The unique ingredients in Pet Regen have countless scientific studies that show their ability to facilitate greater repair, renewal, and regeneration. A few scoops a day can make all the difference. It's safe, effective, affordable, and it works. We guarantee it or your money back. Created by nature, proven by science, loved by pets. That's PetRegen.com. PetRegen.com or call 737-303-4480. That's 737-303-4480.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the sonsoflibertyradio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life, books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the sonsoflibertyradio.com and check out our store today. Welcome back. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 1-281-845-4704. No surprise there, Tim. I was going to pull him up on Zoom, and the Zoom app is not working. So thanks for joining me. Thanks for jumping on with me, and thank you for having me on your show this morning. What I want to do, Tim, is I want to throw something at you. I'm going to read something off, and then once I get done reading it off, I want to play a little audio for you. It's real quick, but I just want to bring it over to something that you had talked about on your show. And you'll understand in just a moment here. I was just highlighting the fact that America is taking the same exact road that Rome did in so many different ways. And what they did to take down Rome, to destroy Rome, and how they self-inflicted and destroyed themselves is they left off their God and his instruction manual called the Word of God. But what was interesting is we found that in Rome, what they did is they put half the people in Rome during that particular time to live off the dole, government assistance, in other words, welfare, which is completely unconstitutional. Put that up against 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Number two, Rome began open border policy, and it's exactly what we're seeing here in America. Tim, you could probably address NAFTA in a moment. Number three, they built coliseums to distract the people, giving them a piece of bread and controlling them, because that's exactly what they're doing in America today. We see that every week in America at football games, baseball games, football, soccer games, you name it. And they're being entertained to death by the people that are controlling them every given step of the way. And this is how Rome destroyed itself. Then what they did is they began a widespread advocation for immorality, and because they understood that if they could demoralize them and separate them from Christ, they could go ahead and control them. And that's what the Prince of the Power does through his minions, as we all well understand over here at the Sons of Liberty, both morning show and afternoon show. And then what they did is they began to promote the advocation of all gods, all may come. And I just said during the end of the last segment that when you look at Judges 5:8, it tells us that when other gods are within the gate, there's going to be war. And we're beginning to see this. As a matter of fact, in Springfield, Ohio right now, where a lot of these Haitians are coming in, their pets are disappearing. They're eating the people's pets. No joke. They're threatening people. They're squatters. They're taking over homes. And then when the people in that community stand up against them, the Haitians are threatening them with machetes. And that's just the tip of the iceberg going on in that one small town as we're being invaded on a nationwide scale. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because when we look at this, it's interesting to note how I put this in order and how I put this and fashioned it in order chronologically so we might understand. Because what I want to do is we understand that the reason this is happening is because the people have left off the commandments of God. They've left off enforcing the law against the corrupt, foreign and domestic. They left off establishing righteousness and peace within the gate because they have left off the first two. And I'm thinking of Deuteronomy 4, verse 6 right now. As a matter of fact, you can even go over to the curses in Deuteronomy 28, verse 63. You'll find the same thing there. So what I want to do now is I want to play this audio so you can hear this. And then, Tim, I'm going to hand it over to you in just a moment. But I want you to hear this first and foremost. This is a hireling in the pulpit talking about the same things that I'm talking about right now. And I want you to listen to his confusion at the end of what he says. It's a very short piece. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
And tell me if you see them going on in America. At the fall of Rome, over half of Rome was living on doles or government assistance. In other words, over half of Rome was on welfare. Number two, Rome began an open border policy. The Germanic tribes began pouring in, taking over the land, and what jobs there were, they took over all the jobs, and then they eventually bankrupted the Roman financial system. Number three.
Listen carefully.
They built coliseums to distract people with sport. They didn't want you to see what they were doing. They didn't want you to see what was going on, so they built bigger and bigger and bigger arenas and coliseums. And do you know who was speaking out against it? The Christians. So do you know who they put right in the middle of the Colosseum? The Christians.
Now listen carefully.
Here's the last one.
Here's the confusion.
Widespread immorality, including the widespread acceptance of same-sex relationships. In fact, it became preferred. And the acceptance of all gods. All religions were accepted except one. Christianity.
Now listen.
Could it be that America is on the same decline as the Roman Empire? Could it be that's why America is not in Bible prophecy? Or could it be that the rapture is going to take place and the Christians in America are going to be taken out of here? And when you take the church out of America, this nation will crumble.
Now, did you hear that, Tim?
Yeah.
Can you even believe what he just said? I mean, you want to talk about conjecture? You couldn't have defined the word conjecture or confusion or contradiction any better than what he just did. What was your take and what were your thoughts on that? Namely, his resolve, because he was saying it was the church protesting, Tim. And then he said they were the ones that were put in the Colosseums because they were being devoured by wild beasts to entertain the mob. Right? So the church during that time was doing...
Him, not him and his generation.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's my thought. I think it's ridiculous. I see, this was the thing. When I was first born again, I came into church. Dude, I loved, you know, the Bible prophecies. I found it fascinating how, you know, God says he's the one who tells us the end from the beginning, right? Not the other way around. He tells us the end. And he can tell us exactly why everything comes past. Who isn't fascinated with that? But the problem was I listened to some guys, and I didn't know anything. I mean, I was brand new. And I listened to these guys teach about these different things, and I got kind of excited because I thought, well, if Jesus, I want to see Jesus. You know, who doesn't want Jesus to come back and you see Jesus? But that was what I was taught, and for a lot of it, it was a lot of what I call Bible ping pong. They didn't actually go through a context and interpret the whole context and then say, okay, what else can we see in Scripture that bolsters that, the understanding we have of the context of what we just read? It was like, read a verse here, jump over here and grab this verse here, and then grab that verse over there, and then get this verse, yep. And then you've strung together an entire, you know, doctrine that you've taught. And this was part of the problem with, you know, like John Darby. They did this thing where they had their, you know, what Jude says and what Peter says. They talk about these men. They lead people away in secret, and that's what they were doing. And they were teaching this theology that included some of this stuff. And then of course, Scofield popularized it in his Bible.
Yeah.
But yeah, the disconnect there from that guy. He's right on, and then all of a sudden he goes to, well, if the rapture doesn't happen, it's like, well, wait a minute.
What are you Tim, where did you just go, dude? You're talking about the reason Rome fell was because the Christians failed to keep the commandments of the Lord, and then what we see at the very end of it, a small portion of them that really did were the ones that were protesting, and the real Christians were thrown into the Colosseums to be devoured by the animals. But like you said, somehow or another, that doesn't apply to our generation. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to pull out this heretical doctrine in this generation, worse than that one, I'm sure, in many ways, for what they've tolerated. Somehow or another, they're going to be raptured from responsibility. But like the 11 of the 12 martyrs that were crucified for their faith, somehow or another, we're found to be favored in the sight of God over even the apostles themselves, including the Son of God, according to the mind of these people.
Yeah, well, a lot of the people have been taught that. And then instead of going to the Word of God and asking God to really help them to go through the Scriptures and understand it themselves, they go to their favorite commentaries. They pick a guy who's tickled their ears, you know, about it. And look, there are some guys that I've respected. They've been very helpful for me who hold to that. Thank God they don't live in such a fashion. I'm glad for that. Their life demonstrates something different than what's portrayed there. But they have held to it. And a lot of them, you know, I think at Chuck Baldwin, he was one. He was taught, a lot of this comes out of Dallas Theological Seminary down there in Texas, and he said, you know, this is what we were taught, and when that's pumped in, it's like a doctor who goes to medical school. You know, we've had several doctors on over the past few years, and I remember one of them, I asked him, I said, well, do you guys not get asked questions in there? He goes, no, you got to write everything down. You got to go cram it in so you can regurgitate it for a test so you can get your sheepskin. It's not until you get out in the world and you start doing what they said to do that you find out this doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, that must be why they call it a practice.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting because you had just talked about why are so many looking to be raptured when Jesus prayed just the exact opposite. And I know that we hit on a little of this morning. I want to get to this right on the other side of this hard break that's coming up here. And I want you to kind of explain that because I want to put this thing to bed, for a better way of saying it. I want you to uproot it. I want you to take the axe of the word, the sword of the spirit, and I want you to chop it up and slay it into 1,000 pieces when we get back on the other side of the break. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
My name is Apache Davis, and I support the Sons of Liberty because the Sons of Liberty still believes America is good, that belief in God is the cornerstone of our republic, that character and virtue is important, and families are the basic building blocks of society.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day. And we don't waste your time with fluff. Here's a real 48-page printed newspaper that is not fair and balanced as defined by the mainstream media. Instead, we tell you the truth you need to know. Check us out and email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the Internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. 281-845-4704. Wanted to give you a real quick heads up, and we'll get back over to morning show host Tim Brown. We are going to be at Oakwood Grand Hall on October 5th, 2024 at 6 p.m. This will be at 2100 Willow Creek Road in Portage, Indiana. We have some more dates coming up. We'll have them posted probably within the next week here. I'm hoping for two or three to kind of fill up the next 3 months here. So again, if you want to book us, now's the time to do it. First come, first serve, 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747. I want to go ahead and play this video for you. And friends, just give me a minute. I'm going to give Tim some talk time here. I am. I'm a talk show host, a radio show host as well, and I think that's part of the problem. But in saying that, I want you to see this because Tim just hit on this. It's something that we've covered several times, and this is the reoccurring theme that we see going through the American church today, and it's a heretical doctrine. And I want you to see where it came from, and there's no better person than to give it to you than the one that I'm about ready to show you. So listen to this carefully. It's a short video.
I think Christians should believe in the rapture because it's not a
William Craig
doctrine. This is a doctrine that was invented in the 19th century by James Darby in Ireland. And when we were on our Irish speaking tour a couple years ago, we actually visited and spent a few nights at Pars Court, where Darby used to hold his Bible studies with the rich and the noble there. And the rapture doctrine was developed. But it is not a doctrine that is affirmed historically by any of the great confessions of the Christian Church, Catholic, Orthodox, or Protestant. It's based upon a misinterpretation of certain New Testament passages where Paul talks about how the Lord will return and we who are believers will be gathered to meet him in the air. Now, the question is, when does this occur? Darby thought that this was a sort of secret return of Christ prior to the second coming of Christ on the judgment day. But there's absolutely no New Testament reason for separating this event from the second coming of Christ. When you read Jesus' Olivet Discourse in Mark 13 and you read Paul's teaching in light of that, it seems quite clear to me, at least, that Christ will return at the end of human history. This will be his second coming. His first was the one that ended with his crucifixion and resurrection. That was his first coming. His second coming will be when he comes on the day of the Lord for judging the world and determining people's final state. So when Christ returns on the judgment day, he will bring with him the souls of the departed saints, and then those who are alive at the time of his return will be gathered to meet them in the air and accompanied to the Lord then to the earth for the final judgment. And so it seems to me that it is illusory to invent this secret preemptory return of Jesus prior to his second coming.
Tim, I just had to play that just to kind of put a nail in the coffin of this heretical doctrine. And I think when William over here just got done sharing with us, it was for his rich buddies that he preached to in private. Well, he had to push that narrative in private because he knew the church would condemn him otherwise. And that's why they did it in secret. It's amazing to me how the American church has taken on this doctrine. And, you know, I'm seeing people on live chat right now saying, I was raised that way. I was raised to believe that because that's what my pastor was preaching. Well, wait a second. You wouldn't have been raised that way. And I'm not saying if you were a little kid and you didn't have any say so, but I am saying that you have the same Bible that that guy at the pulpit has, and it's for you to follow Christ, not the man. And I think too many people are caught up and confused with this heretical doctrine because they've failed to do their own due diligence to find out in the Word that it doesn't exist. I mean, it is nothing more, and I remember when this all came out, it's an exit strategy from their responsibility only to face the judge that they disobeyed when they had the opportunity to obey when they were on the earth. What say you?
Yeah, well, you see that in the church today, too. They're all about retreats, but where's the advance in the fight? You know?
Exactly.
there's retreat after retreat after retreat, and they don't think of it. They think of retreat as vacation because that's what it is for them. But when you retreat in battle, it's because you're overwhelmed and you need to sort of regain your footing. You need to get everybody, you know, on the same page, so you got to take a step back or you're going to get all your guys wiped out. That's what that's for. And that shouldn't be happening every week. It shouldn't be happening every month. But yet that's how the church does it instead of going in advancement. But, you know, the reality is that doctrine was around for a couple of hundred years or a few hundred years before Darby made it such a big thing. I remember reading about it, you know, early on when I left that kind of eschatology, because that's what that is. It's like an eschatology that's been pulled back over the scriptures to build a theology, and it's really not very sound. So, I mean, it gets so many things wrong, and that's where the problem is. And I know there's a lot of people that I believe are my brothers, but they've been taught that, but thank God their lives demonstrate something different. They are not those who sit back and are waiting, but they're doers. So I know there's some people who need correction in that error. But when we were talking about this the other day, you know, I just took John 17, and everybody knows how I am. This is the way I learn. So I, you know, that's the way I communicate it to other people. I said the best thing to do is to start in the context. And of course, we make mention of John 17:15. Well, there's a whole context. There's 20 something verses there. There's 26 verses. So there's a whole bunch of verses that come before. There's a whole bunch of verses coming behind. And you were speaking about this, I think, on your show yesterday or the day before in that two-part show. You were talking about how it was God. It's regeneration that comes first. And then with that new birth, the work of the Spirit, you know, I think the picture that we see so clearly in Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, that prophet's asked, well, can the dry bones live? And he goes, well, I don't, Lord, you know. And he goes, well, preach to them. And he does. And what happens? That wind comes along, and it stirs them up, and it puts muscle on them, it puts skin on them, and the flesh, everything. And they're put together, and he says, this is the whole house of Israel. Well, I think that's exactly what Jesus is referencing when he talks about the new birth, because he talks about that with Nicodemus, and he says, you don't know these things? You're a teacher of Israel, you don't know it? This is the problem we're having in the church, that the guys in the pulpits don't know it.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know it.
Yeah. You know,
and so they obviously can't give what they don't have.
Exactly.
They can fake it. I know what that's like, too. I know what it is to fake it, thinking, and I thought I was actually doing it, right? But I know what it is to fake it, because you did everything everybody said to do, except what the Lord said to do, and that was to be born again, and a man can't birth himself.
Yeah,
he
right.
He can't do it.
Yeah, just for the record, we were talking about how the church debated the Catholics with the Reformers during the time of Martin Luther, and Paul was asking the question, how can I be justified before God? That's all he was asking, yep. Is how can I be justified before God? You got to make distinction as to what I'm talking about here, friends. And the other question was, James was basically laying it out and saying, well, listen, if you have the faith, faith brings forth fruit to the glory of Christ. James 2, 14 through 26. And then Paul was asking the question, and they were both making reference to the word justification in Genesis 15 and 22. They were asking and they were making different points. So they weren't contradicting each other. One was asking, how am I justified before God? And the other one was saying, okay, if you're justified by God, what kind of fruit do you bring forth? Does that fruit work out itself with fear and trembling to bring forth fruit? Absolutely. And then you bring in James 2:17, where it says, without faith, or, you know, without works, your faith is dead. And people don't understand that. But what's crazy about it is they have conferences over the weekend and they're still doing it today. Well, listen, if I'm born again, do I have to do the works? Well, no, because you're not justified by the works of the law. But because you're saved, you do the works. You don't do the works to get saved. And there it is right there. Everything hinges on that. It's super simple to understand, but they're still debating this today. And I feel that a lot of theologians, with due respect to the good ones, because there really is good ones out there, but with all due respect, I think a lot of them, they just want to sit inside of the building to debate something to try to justify why they take so much money from those that support them. And that's a fact. And I see that throughout the country. Tim, I wanted to make a point, but go ahead and make that point. And I'm going to make a point here, which is going to piggyback what you're talking about even now.
Yeah, what you're saying there, you know, if you know John Calvin's life, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to just sit in his study, he wanted to read, he wanted to write. You know, I guess I'm in some ways a lot like that. I'd like to sit in the study and read and write and work in the garden or whatever and do those kinds of things. But it was his friend Farrell who had the gift of a prophet, and he got in there in Calvin's face, and he says, no, 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 you got to get out here. The city, the town needs you. You've got to be out here preaching. And he was the one instructing the magistrates, by the way, to what God's law said about certain things.
Amen.
The law was implemented as he preached it. And so it was Farrell who kind of got under, you know, the theologians' you know, skirt, so to speak, and pushed him out there and said, you got to get out here and do this. You can't be sitting in here in the library. You're too useful.
Yeah, you know, I just had a thought when you said that, Tim. It's interesting because I say this within politics. I said, folks, if you're waiting for someone to get the job done, you're waiting on the wrong people to get the job done because it's not the job that you want done. And I'm talking about the politicians. But if you look at what's in the pulpits today, these are not the people that are supposed to be in the pulpits. These are the ones that want to be in the pulpits because that's what makes them hirelings. They're doing what they're doing for the money. And that's what they're begging for. That's why they're people pleasing. That's why they're itching their itching ears. That's why they're preaching a message to please men rather than God. And another way of saying it, they love Aaron, but they hate Moses. That's the truth of the matter. But if you're online right now, Tim, and I'm sorry I couldn't pull you up, my Zoom app still isn't working and I've been clicking on it, but I want everybody to see this because this is what I've seen since day one. So we're on the front line. We're doing our due diligence. And in the process of doing that, we're out there in the high schools. We're out there in the highways, in the byways. We're on the radio. We're on television. We're out protesting on the streets. And where are those that are teaching this heretical doctrine? I'm going to show you in just a moment. We'll be right back.
We are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hello, my name is Dan. Hearing Bradley Dean speak for the very first time rocked my world. He preaches in the bold, uncompromising style of John the Baptist, bringing inspiring message of clarity, conviction, holiness, hope, and healing. He awakens the spiritual warrior and the true believer while bringing encouragement to the weary soul. God bless you, brother.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hello, I'm Eric Hollander, award-winning graphic designer and documentarian. I've known Bradley Dean for the better part of two decades. And in all that time, I've been a witness to his consistent passion for Jesus Christ, America, its young people, and the veterans who fought to keep us free. Bradley's radio show, The Sons of Liberty, addresses the heroic values our nation once championed, but sadly are fading in an increasingly self-centered culture. Never one to pull punches, Bradley tells it like it is, boldly proclaiming truth to those with ears to hear.
Son of Liberty, Mr. Samuel Adams said, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Well then, for 25 years now, we as a ministry team have been doing just that and bearing fruit to the glory of Christ. From tea parties to high schools, from colleges to churches, prisons, and more. Friends, it has been correctly stated that a salvation without service is no salvation at all. How true that is. If we have found on a personal level salvation in Christ, this then will lead us back to a national salvation when we work together through a reformation back to his old paths in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now is the time to work together in bringing us into your communities and setting these brush fires in the minds of men and women nationwide. So book us today. Give us a call at 1-866-233-0747.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Tim, are you able to watch what's on the platform, Rumble? Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. 281-845-4704. Again, folks, we're going to be in Indiana on October 6th. We're going to be in Wisconsin the day before that. And we are busy little bees. I was just ending the last segment with, we're having to pick up concerning what the hippies in the pulpits have preached, and not only in the church, but also in politics today, the heresies that they have preached to the younger generation. And what we've been talking about right now, and I got Tim Brown, morning show host from sonsoflibertyradio.com, on the phone with me. And what's interesting, we've been talking about the theory and the heretical teaching of something they call the rapture. And it's a military strategy in hopes that they're going to be pulled out of the war that God has called them to be in. It's like in the natural QAnon sense. And it's a lot of what we see today. The Russians back in the 20s, they brought forth what the Bolsheviks brought forth was basically to tell the people that don't worry about it. We have political leaders and military leaders in charge right now. They're going to take care of it. And they just kept the people impotent. They didn't paralyze the people so much as they did neuter them by telling them someone else is going to take care of it. Well, it's exactly what's going on here now. Well, the hippie generation that's in the pulpits in both sectors, they have literally brought forth what
a lawless society because they're a bunch of antinomianists. They've left off God's commandments in keeping them, in dealing with the wicked, and therefore they created a heretical doctrine called the rapture, eschatology. They're going to be raptured from their responsibility, and as I say, only to face the judge that they disobeyed on earth when they had time to do it. They left off his commandments, their country became a hell, and then what they're doing in essence is blaming God and saying, well, you said it was the end times anyways, that's why we preached the message that they didn't have to do anything because it's not like it would have helped anyways. That's absolutely ridiculous. Look to our forefathers in contrast every step of the way. This is what I want you to see. When I was just talking, Tim, and you were talking, and we were going back and forth, I went to cruises. This is the hippie generation. The Prophecy and End Times cruise with John Ankerberg and friends on a cruise. Okay. Well, their kids are being subjected to everything and protected from nothing. As babies are being murdered in the womb, 3,000 to 4,000, they're all standing back and saying, you know what, we're just going to enjoy our life. We want to partake with the glory of Christ. They want nothing to do with the cross. They want nothing to do with obeying him in any sense of the word. And this should help you understand as to what this ministry has been dealing with since day one. We have the Gaither Homecoming Farewell Caribbean Cruise. Notice the ages, okay? Michael Smith. You have Eric Metaxas. You have Zach Williams, the Alaskan Cruise. Paul Cruise, or the Journeys of Paul Cruise with Jack Graham. Turning Point Ministry Caribbean Cruise. I mean, that guy, David Jeremiah, that guy's lost his bearings. You have Dave Ramsey. Do these people look like they're in the fight, folks? Or does it look like they've convinced their listeners to give them enough money so they can go live their lives in such a fashion where they don't have to deal with any of the issues when it comes to the tangibility and reality of what we are dealing with on a 24/7 basis in the ministry? This is why I continuously tell you the younger generation, they're going to have to deal with what that generation dropped on them. And they're doing it with a smile on their face. Now, Tim, I don't mean to take this all away from you. I really don't. But I do want to go back to something that you had talked about not too long ago on one of your shows. And the show was, basically, and I'm looking for it right now, that Jesus, why are people looking to be raptured when Jesus prayed just the opposite? Can you go ahead and explain to everybody exactly what you meant scripturally?
Yeah. Again, I was talking about John chapter 17. And I made reference to what you had said. If people back up just into verse 1, I mean, you hear what Jesus says about who he is. He says, you know, I was with you in the beginning. Verse 1, he says, these words spake Jesus, lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh. I don't know about those guys who want to, you know, submit themselves to the devil because he's the quote-unquote God of this world, which shows up one time in Scripture. But my Bible says that he has power over all flesh. And not only does he do that, but he says at the end he has all authority in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
And so that's who we're to cling to, not to Satan, that he should give eternal life as to many as thou hast given him. Look at that. It's the covenant of the Father and the Son, and the Father gives to the Son those whom he will. And Jesus says in John chapter 6, the one whom the Father gives me will come, not they might come to me, they will come to me, and then the one who comes to me I will nowise cast out, but I'll raise him up the last day. And he says this over and over. Verse 4, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. How in the world did Jesus have glory with the Father unless he was the Word who was God, John chapter 1, verse 1?
Amen.
And then he goes on, and he starts talking about, I manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. This is what you were talking about before. He takes a man out of the world. He cleanses him, or he takes him out of the unholy situation, I think that's how you put it, and cleans him and then puts him back in the holy, yeah, in the unholy situation so that he might make it holy. That's the purpose of doing that. So he says that they have kept his word. That's what he said, verse 6. Verse 7, now we have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them, though I was in, you know, Jesus was entrusted with God's word. He was faithful with it. What did he give them? He gave them the words that God gave him, which thou gavest me, and they have received them. They have known surely I came from thee. They have believed that thou didst sent me. And so this is the real Lord's Prayer, not the thing in Matthew 6. This is the real Lord's Prayer right here in John 17. And then notice what he says. I pray for them. I pray not for the world.
That's
now,
right.
Now, think about that. Jesus isn't praying for everybody in the same, in any sense of the word, the same way. He says, I pray for them, the believers, those who are his, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And so you see he's praying for them while they're in the world. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name.
Amen.
Those that thou gavest me I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Why? So the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and here's the lead up to the other. He's talked about how God's given them to him. He's been faithful with the word, and they're still in the world, right? And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, or from the evil one.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bradley, I made mention of the fact that God brought Lot and his family out of Sodom, but he didn't take them out of the world, and then he brought judgment there. And he gave Noah and his family an ark, and he brought them out of the judgment through the ark, but he didn't take them out of the world, did he? And then you look at Jesus' words in Matthew 24 when he's talking about the destruction that's going to come on Jerusalem. He says it's going to come on this generation. He says, watch for the abomination of desolation. And if you read the parallel passage in Luke 21, that is akin to the armies surrounding Jerusalem. And he says, when you see that, don't get anything. Don't get your bug-out bag. Don't grab the Honda, nothing.
Yep.
Get out of the city. And the people that got out of the city before the siege were the ones that survived. Everybody that got caught in the siege were destroyed. And even those who left the city, guess where they still were? They were in the world.
Yep.
And I don't see any difference for us to be looking for anything else. If God works the same way that he did in the past, and he's working the same way he does in the present, why wouldn't he do that same thing in the future?
He doesn't
That's
change,
all we
right?
have of how he rescues his people.
Yeah, he doesn't change, but apparently, according to the modern-day hippie heretics, God changed his mind. He said, I'm going to pull them out, man. I'm not going to let them bear their cross. And it's interesting, in the face of what Jesus said to him after his resurrection, he said, as my Father sent me, so I send you. That doesn't apply to them. Just like the first audio that I played for you, and you said, well, apparently that doesn't apply to this generation. That's what's terrible about all of this. People are being blindsided by these heretics because, again, and it falls to them. It falls to their responsibility, not so much the heretic that they're taking heed to, because they're failing themselves to do their own due diligence to see that the man that they're listening to is, in fact, a heretic. And again, there's so many different directions we can take this. Tim, I got about one more minute. I'm going to go ahead and give you the last word.
Yeah, well, if people keep reading on from where we stopped at John chapter 15, that's what I encourage them to do, because there's some other encouraging things. If you'll take your time and read it, you'll see it right there. I mean, if you've got the same spirit I do, he gives you the same eyes to see the same thing I do. You'll see some encouraging things that follow through that. And for some people, it's going to be a shock, Bradley, that it's like, oh, you mean he's not coming? I am.
Hang on a second, Tim. Hang on a second. Hang on a second, Tim. Love you by what we do. We'll talk to you in 23. Okay, Tim, go ahead and give us that last thought there. And by the way, we can hang out for a couple minutes here if you don't mind. Folks, if you're just joining us right now, there's no more commercials. We're taking this into overtime, and we have been talking about the heresies and the heretical doctrine of rapture. And I'm highlighting the fact of what generation this is coming from. They're in the pulpits in the churches, and they're also in the political arenas today. And they're the ones that have brought about the reality of what we're all living in today and what they're doing. Instead of taking responsibility and righting the wrongs, they're now now looking for that exit strategy because they want to be raptured from responsibility. And as I said twice today, is that they're only merely going to face the judge that they disobeyed when they had time to while they were here on this earth. And Tim, you were just talking about John 17 and where Jesus said, I pray that you take them not out of the earth, but that you just keep them from the evil one. That's the kind of scriptures these heretics don't want to hear, but it's what the people need to hear so, again, we can give them understanding so they can identify a heretic. And you just gave us a last thought. What was that?
Well, if I can, let me just read just two passages that's right down from that, from John chapter 17:15, where he says, verse 17. Let me back up to there. I'll give you a couple. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how are men to be set apart? How are they to be made holy? It's through the word. That's what he says. God sanctifies us by his word. His word is truth. And then he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. That's his disciples, the ones he's praying for. And then he says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. So Jesus sanctified himself for the sake of those he was discipling, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And then he says this, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hello out there, anybody who is a believer, that's you. There's Jesus praying for you. There's him praying for me. There's him praying for Bradley. It's not for just the disciples there, but he includes us, everybody who's going to believe in the word that they have preached. And we received it from somebody who got it from somebody who got it from somebody who got it from these guys who bore witness of it. And then he says that they all may be one. We talked about this morning, Bradley, when we were talking about all of the dissensions and sects in Christianity. And here's Jesus' words, and I asked the question, well, is Jesus' prayers not being answered? I don't think so, because I think his people are all one. I don't think that they're really divided. His real people, I don't think they're really divided. I think they see things the same way. We can see, you know, people who come in the chat. We may not agree on every little thing, but we've got the main thrust of what God has said, and we're united in that, are we not?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where there's schism, and that's one thing I always do in purpose is to avoid that, because the Bible says that we're to have sound speech which cannot be condemned, and sound meaning without error. I always want to make sure that I'm holding to the word, and when I hear you say that, or I hear other people say it, I heard a radio guy say it. You know, he says, Bradley, your show has a lot of credence. He goes, not that I agree with everything you say. And it's like, well, wait a second. I'm not here giving you my opinion, but as I've said before, and I'll say again, if you want my opinion, I'll give you my opinion. But I'm holding to sound doctrine, and that's my position. We can have the same principles, and we should all be rooted in the same principles, the Word of God. And therefore, if that's what we're doing, then we're going to have the same judgment calls, 1 Corinthians 1:10, and we're going to be following one Lord. But the way that we're going to have the same judgment calls is when we are following him and him alone. And I didn't know that there was 2, 3, 4, 5 different ways to see him.
No, there's not. That's not what I meant. I meant was people being in different areas of sanctification or growth. There's some people who are not going to know what you're talking about. I mean, you can give them the same thing, but you understand what I'm saying. There's just some things you don't know, and you don't know them until either somebody confronts you or the Word confronts
you with it,
and that kind of thing. So that's what I'm talking about, where we may not agree, but the job is not to run away from those disagreements. It's to sharpen one another with them and correct and instruct.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I totally appreciate it, Guy. And I know that we've been on the radio for a long time today. I think we're going on, what, three hours today?
Yeah. It's been good, though. It's been very encouraging.
It has. Thanks, Tim. I totally appreciate you jumping on again. And I thought it would be only fair to high-five you back concerning having me on your show this morning and giving me an opportunity to preach to your people. So, folks, wanted to let you know that the guys put a bundle together, Soldier of the Cross, All the Prophets Were Pointing to the Front, and Children of the Apostate. It's available on sonsoflibertymedia.com. We have them all in. Children of the Apostate just came in about 3 weeks ago, and they've been going out the door. So just wanted to tell you thank you for your trust. Again, we're here not talking out of school. We're called to be witnesses of the resurrection and that alone. So we're not talking out of school. We're holding to the scriptures. We're holding to the Constitution. And we're bringing about the answers that the American people say that they want. But I can tell you first and foremost, until you are right with the Lord, number one, just like the prodigal son in Luke 15, until you are right with the Lord, all's going to go for naught. And I suggest that you read God's moral law in Exodus 20 and understand that you've broken his law into 1,000 pieces. And as it tells us in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the laws are schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. So how do I say that? Augustine said the law detects, grace alone conquers. Understand law, it condemns me, it does not justify me. If I'm a believer, grace justifies me, period, as a believer. But that comes from the born-again experience that only the Holy Ghost can birth in you. So with that, friends, make yourself right. Take the time and get right before the Lord. The message, again, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is no other message to give you until you are saved in Christ, where you receive the benefit of partaking in a divine nature. And again, friends, we love you by what we do. We'll talk to you in 23. And we just appreciate your trust, and we appreciate you jumping on with us. And if you want to know who we are and you're brand new here, go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. It's what we've been doing for the last 25 years, not talking about, but doing. And if you would like to go ahead and check out the store, please do. That's all tailored for you to feed you, to edify you, to build you up in the Christ and him alone. And I'm not talking about man-made Christ. I'm talking about the Christ. And again, with that said, go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, go to the store. Also consider becoming a member. Last thing I'm going to say is if you'd like to jump in and you want to pull us into your community to do an event, we've done thousands of them, literally. Now's the time to do that. That number is 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747. Again, we love you by what we do. Read 1 John 3:18, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Again, we love you by what we do. Read 1 John 3:18, and we will talk to you tomorrow. 0747. Again, we love you by what we do. Read 1 John 3:18.